In just 16 days, we'll be gathered to observe the Feast of Pentecost. Of course, it's listed as one of the holy days God has us observe in Leviticus 23 there. And so my question to begin with is, have you been counting? Each of God's holy days has a unique aspect to it, because each of these holy days has a different and additional aspect of God's plan of salvation that is revealed in them. Every time we approach any of the holy days, I'm reminded and humbled at the mercy that God provides mankind, and for us, even now, to learn the lesson of living apart from Him, that we can acknowledge the brokenness of the world and even our lives before God called us. But yet, in spite of all of that, God has a desire to bring many sons and daughters to glory. We read of that in Hebrews 2, verse 10. And so the unique aspect of the Feast of Pentecost is that the date is not fixed on a calendar like the other dates. It's not the 10th day of a certain month, the first day, or whatever it happens to be. We count from the Sunday during the days of unleavened bread. And the physical counting towards the Feast of Pentecost is obviously very important, but there's a spiritual counting that we should be aware of as well. And so the title of my message today is simply Counting Towards Eternity. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 16. This is a verse that we oftentimes read on a holy day when it connects to offerings, but I want to draw a point from it today in light of the message that I'm giving, because Pentecost is represented in this as God breaks down, if you will, in a general terms as he categorizes the holy days. In Deuteronomy 16 and in verse 16, we read here, it says there that three times a year all your males shall appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he chooses. So these are the three times: the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which includes Passover and both of the holy days of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, which is what we call from the New Testament the Feast of Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, which is inclusive of the fall holy days, Trumpets and Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and Last Great Day. These are the three seasons. So bringing an offering, he says, they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. What I want to highlight in here is the times, he says here. Three times a year. The word times there in the Hebrew has the meaning of steps. Three steps of the year, three times of the year, three seasons, God's holy days are to be kept. And so they're broken down essentially into what we would call spring, summer, and fall. In the early spring, of course, as I mentioned, we have Passover, the days of unleavened bread, and we rehearse in those days during that time, God beginning the process of bringing mankind into his family, made possible through the shed blood of his Son, our perfect sacrifice. We come then to Pentecost, unique in the sense that it stands alone. It's not surrounded by other holy days in short succession. And in this, we recognize God establishing his church, providing his Holy Spirit, so that it makes possible for us to become part of his family. Let's go next to Philippians chapter 2. That the process God has us involved with as he calls us and gives us his Spirit is to begin to think and to become like his Son. So in Philippians 2 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul writes here, he said, let this mind be in you. He's talking about unity previously. He's talking about humility. So he says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, that we represent as well in the Feast of Pentecost, or at the Feast of Pentecost, considering the lessons there, that we are to begin the process and follow through that in our calling of thinking more and more like Jesus Christ. Of course, then going back to Deuteronomy 16, in the fall holy days, we have represented a number of things. In the Feast of Trumpets, we understand from Scripture the return of Jesus Christ to begin the millennial reign, to remove Satan as ruler of this present world. Then, of course, the Day of Atonement, picturing the removal of Satan for 1,000 years, only to be released for a short time later. Then the Feast of Tabernacles, of course, that millennial reign I mentioned. And then finally the eighth day, or the last great day, picturing the opportunity for everyone who has ever lived and died, who has not had the opportunity for salvation in this life, to have opportunity to become part of the family that you and I are part of now. And so with all that in mind, we truly are at a pivotal time in mankind's history. In the very near future, hopefully, God will cease being relatively passive with mankind and will begin to act more directly in the affairs of man to allow these things to come to pass, as we read in prophetic areas such as Revelation. At some point, God's patience will be exhausted. Not that he doesn't love mankind, not that he doesn't want the best for them, but it can't continue this way forever, according to who he is. Satan will be removed, but before then, he'll be given more and more opportunity, if you will, more and more freedom to hurt mankind. We already see some vestiges of that. It's not going to be pretty. Let's conclude in Scripture here this morning in 1 Peter chapter 4. In being given God's Spirit, and being given the mind of Christ to begin to develop more fully, as we understand more and more from God's Word and what that means for us in the calling that we have now, we have to also acknowledge that this is a time of judgment for us. And in 1 Peter 4 and verse 17, Peter talks about this. He says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God." Because we know the choice is being made. We know what we should do and what we should become. We know that there is a God. We know that he has a plan and a purpose for this life. We're not ignorant in that regard. And so God wants us, desires for us to follow through and to recognize that we have a responsibility. So to continue here in 1 Peter 4, verse 17, "For if it begins," that is judgment at the house of God, "if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey?" We also picture in the Feast of Pentecost this down payment of God's Spirit being given. This is why we're being judged now. We're being held accountable because we understand the difference between the world that is ignorant and us having the calling and the understanding that we've been given the assignment to overcome ourselves, to overcome the world, to overcome Satan's influence, and in that way to be the example that Israel never fully lived up to show God's way of life in action, and that it is possible to become like him. We're to come out of the world, then consequently around us, as we read in Revelation 18:4, to not embrace the systems, not be passive about what goes on around us. The Feast of Pentecost, then, is more than a day to remember God's Holy Spirit being given. It's more than remembering how God started his church in 31 A.D., Pentecost is more than another of God's holy days that we check off the calendar in terms of keeping it and observing it. Pentecost is a reminder, along with all of God's other holy days, of what he has done and what he is doing for mankind to have the opportunity to be in his family. We have that opportunity now, each one of us. We have the opportunity to be in his family. So the question is, will we make the most of it? As we count down towards Pentecost, let's remember the countdown that we have towards eternal life as well. We serve an awesome God.